www.sam.ca.
Connecting you and your community. This is the Sam LaPrade Show on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Sam LaPrade. Thank you so much for being with us here on City News. For the next 3 hours, we'll introduce you to many community members and different perspectives in our community. We're going to be talking about sleep a little bit. I need more sleep. I don't know about you. We're going to get some information about our sleep patterns. We're also going to spend some time today with Wilson Lowe, counselor for Barrhaven East. We're going to be talking about the on-demand service for OC Transpo. I'm anxious to see what Wilson thinks of this. We're also going to speak with Caroline McKenzie from the Glebe Community Association regarding Lansdowne 2.0. We have lots coming for you today. We're already getting ready as well for our lunch today. We're going to be talking about the new mayor-elect, Olivia Chow in Toronto. She was elected last night, and certainly an interesting turn of events for Toronto. We're going to be following that story closely as well. But first, I wanted to get connected this morning with Peter Tilley, CEO of the Ottawa Mission. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Sam.
Thanks for spending time with us today. And of course, Katie Burkholder-Harris is here as well, Executive Director for the Alliance to End Homelessness. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Sam, and hi, Peter.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Katie.
Thank you so much, everyone, being here today. Today, we're going to be talking about the opioid crisis, but Katie, we're going to be talking about it from a different perspective. And of course, that's the perspective of youth, and particularly youth that find themselves homeless. Give us a sense of what's happening on the streets.
Well, about 20% of people experiencing homelessness are young people, and a big contributing factor to that is people exiting the child welfare system. So a lot of what can happen, I've certainly heard stories. I used to be the coordinator for Away Home Ottawa, which was a youth-focused strategy on ending homelessness. And what we heard consistently in our research was this experience of, it's my 18th birthday, or the day before my 18th birthday, I'm kind of being told that I need to leave, you know, the youth housing situation I'm in because sort of the funding is cut. People are not connected to the foster care system in the same way. So that kind of transition, it really is people falling into homelessness. And we know when people are vulnerable, when people are in distress, we know that people may use opioids, and not having housing and the stability of housing is definitely a major contributor to that.
And we know, Peter, as well, that that many people will prey on those individuals that are very vulnerable in the community, and they know exactly sort of how to get them pulled into this to this drug cycle as well. How big of a problem is that?
Oh, it's a huge problem, Sam. It's when we created our housing department in 2019, Katie was part of that as a board member of the Ottawa Mission. We certainly had a focus on not only housing focus, but the diversion aspect. And the key to the diversion aspect is if youth have been left their home environment for whatever reason, you're no longer going to smoke pot under our roof type situation or whatever it may be, is a quick try and reconnect with the parents, because make them realize youth coming into the homeless sector, whether encampment, sleeping rough, or into the shelter system, they're going to be under the influence of some very hardened people, some very hardened cases, and that's not a great alternative, always that influence, especially as they look at gateway drugs that go on to harder drugs. And we're just seeing this recent report that's come out on the damage of those drugs, especially when they're laced with fentanyl. So not a good option for youth who are vulnerable. Katie's mentioned too, some of them who have just been moved from one system to another and now moving into this system, not the best option. If we can reconnect them back with other options rather than moving into the shelter or the homeless situation, is always a better alternative.
Absolutely. And Katie, we know that once somebody's in the system, really hard to get out of that system. There's lots of different programs to try and find housing, but layering on this addiction must be challenging for you as well, to try and work with some of these youth.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is an older stat, but I do remember at one point back in sort of 2015, 16, and I think it's probably gotten worse. It's about 2 weeks before a youth becomes kind of entrenched in the shelter system. So you have this very short window that you need to support somebody to get rehoused as quickly as possible and get them the supports they need. And if you don't, it tends to go downhill from there. So a really key piece is ensuring that we get young people housed. And I think another piece is, you know, so many folks who are adults who experience homelessness had their first experience of homelessness before they were 18 years old. So, you know, this is something that can become a pattern because people are so unstable in their life. And, you know, before you can, you know, think about not using the substance or getting well in some way, or if you are somebody who uses substances, but really it's about valuing life and not having people die, you need the stability of housing to do that.
Absolutely. And we know we spoke a number of times, Peter, that the core of all of this in many cases is trauma. Talk to me a little bit about what you're seeing on the streets, knowing that we've come through such a difficult time and many people have found themselves without home and maybe without connection as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, just somebody I was trying to help this weekend. You know, counsel with some of their addiction issues. The traumas that you see in individuals like this or in many of the youth is hard for many people to imagine. The broken homes, the lack of proper parenting in the home environment, and just some of the situations these youth have had to deal with that by the time they're 14 or 15, whether they're asked to leave or they're trying to get out of the housing environment, and that places them into such a vulnerable position. So many possible good years ahead of them, and yet they're already in a situation where they're running from their trauma, from their past trauma, and they're medicating and numbing to deal with that past trauma, and thus begins the vicious cycle, and hopefully one that doesn't end up in death, as we're seeing again in this recent report about the number of youth who have died from opioid overdose. It's just so troubling when I read that, just to think, you know, whether but for the grace of God, go I or many others who had they been placed in such an environment with limited options other than to escape in one way or another.
And Katie, we know that there's a lots of discussion right now, actually today at committee. There's going to be a proposal brought forward to implement sort of a mental health strategy regarding maybe staff going and responding to mental health crisis as opposed to police. So it's a kind of a collaboration here. How much do you think that this type of information, knowing how many, you know, kids are experiencing this opioid crisis at this point, and kids and adults alike are dying on the streets. How much do you think will be impacted if we were able to have some resources, particularly regarding mental health?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think those resources are critical. You know, I used to do frontline mental health work, and it was so frustrating that somebody would be in crisis. We'd go to the hospital, they'd stay for 24 hours, and then they'd go back to the community without, you know, long-term supports, maybe be on a waiting list for, you know, additional supports. But I couldn't meet them in that moment with the thing that they needed. And I think it's really good to see the mental health report coming out and what's going to be debated at council or committee today. But I think a key part is, are we addressing the right problem? And the right problem is not focusing on individual failing, and that's how we often think about it. It's focusing on the system that doesn't enable somebody to be able to recover and have hope and thrive. So we need to tackle the system piece of this, and if that's the direction that we're moving, great, and I hope that that's what comes from this.
I suspect I'll be speaking with you both again soon. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Sam, as always.
Appreciate it. Peter Tilley, CEO of the Ottawa Mission. Katie Burkholder-Harris, Executive Director for the Alliance to End Homelessness. The opioid story, unfortunately, continues. When we come back, Wilson Lowe will be here, counselor for Barrhaven East. Stay with us here on City News.
Sam LaPrade will be right back on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.